if it's locally owned.
It's Copper Row.
Organically grown.
It's Copper Row.
Your heart will warm.
It's Copper Row.
Got that hometown charm.
It's Copper Row.
It is time now for Conversations with the Mayors, presented by Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce, a membership organization that serves and advances the business interests of our community and builds a sustainable community where business thrives. Get more on them online at carolinachamber.org. And we've got the mayor of Carborough here in the studio today, Mayor Lydia Lavelle. How are you? Happy Friday.
I'm good. Aaron, happy Friday to you also. What's different about today than the last two Fridays? The sun is in my
eyes. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh,
man, I had forgotten about that. It was pouring rain every single Friday this week.
The last two Fridays, at least, I have like run in and out of the rain to come in here. And it's just beautiful. It's kind of chilly, but I'll take that. But the sun is shining in here. It's awesome.
I actually walked to Caribou Coffee and back today, I was hating myself on the way back because it was cold, but it was nice. You could do that. It's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So earlier today, you were at a steering committee meeting for the county's master aging plan. So what was that? How did it go?
Yeah. This is organized by the Orange County Department on Aging, but it's actually a collaborative group of folks who have been working on the update of the, I guess it's the 2017 through 2022 master aging plan. The town of Carborough is one of many, many partners who are participating in this. And Annette Stone from our town is the one who attends these meetings on a regular basis and informs the group on the updates of what Carborough's doing, and also that the kind of works to bring back the efforts of that group to our town employees and staff. But I also am on this committee, and so I try to go when I can, and it's infrequent, but I love it when I go because I hear what all of these other groups in our community are doing to make life better and easier for our senior population in very, very thoughtful ways. I'll talk to you in a minute about the priorities. It just kind of made me feel really good to know all this work is going on. There's six or seven different, actually maybe even eight goals and objectives.
I was going to say, if you're listening on the radio, you can't see this, but that's a big packet of information you got there.
Yeah, this is an awesome, I had a couple different packets I got. One is the goals, objectives, strategies, and indicators for the plan, and then we got another packet. It's at home. I haven't looked at it yet, but it's kind of where we are now and where we're going through this process. But the different guiding principles, let me just tell you what these eight are quickly. Like the first one is outdoor space and buildings, and it's all these groups are looking at ways to optimize the usability of outdoor spaces and buildings for older adults. The second one's transportation, and so that's kind of expanding services and improving infrastructure so that it's, you know, safe, accessible, and affordable for seniors in the community. Third is housing, and that's to improve choice, quality, and affordability of housing, including housing that has services and including long-term care options. The fourth goal, social participation, and that's promoting different opportunities, diverse and accessible, to have older adults participate in and engage in. Goal five is respect and social inclusion, and that is ensuring a welcoming, inclusive, livable community for everyone. A couple of these I want to comment on. Sixth one is civic engagement and employment. And this is these are active efforts to connect older adults that are seeking paid employment or meaningful volunteer experiences with their opportunities, kind of connecting them up. And I know, you know, a lot of my friends are kind of starting to enter this phase of life. Goal seven, community support and health services, and making sure that there's accessible, affordable resources for individual health and well-being as folks age. And number eight is communication and information, and to make sure that older adults and their family members can make informed decisions and to be able to easily access available services and supports. Mm. So there were a couple of these I wanted to comment on briefly, and I'll talk about transportation
actually in a minute.
But housing, it was interesting to hear that, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the goal of increasing senior housing in the county has evidently, the benchmarker that they were trying to reach has already been met and gone a little bit beyond.
Awesome.
So that was really exciting to hear, and I'm really proud that Carborough is part of the reason that that has been met because of the approved Lloyd Farm process that's going to have some senior apartments and a few for sale. But it was really remarkable. They put up a list of all the places in the county that have been approved as far as senior housing, and they were really excited that that short-term goal has been met, and I'm sure they're setting new goals now. The other one I wanted to comment on was upholding all older adults as valuable members and resources of the community, ensuring a welcoming, inclusive, and livable community. And one of the comments that I made when I spoke was that in December, we may have mentioned this on an earlier show, that I attended a session on the elders of the LGBT community. And indeed, this group...
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and this group actually has... there is a staff member with Orange County Department on Aging who started to focus on these issues and serving as a resource for older members of the gay community. And I also told the group that as part of our Pride festivities in June this year, we're going to have a couple of panel presentations. I'd like to have folks just really kind of think about that and understand the challenges that the older gay community is facing. So along with all these other challenges that I just mentioned. So.
In terms of what Orange County is doing, what did you learn? What stood out to you?
Well, one thing that I thought was really fascinating was how many people were at the table. You know, how many, like I was right behind Sheriff Blackwood, okay? But, the list of the agencies that are represented in this group and that are working toward every single one of these eight objectives then has a work group underneath it with all these ways they want to achieve those objectives, right? But, there was a representative there from AARP, and mm-hmm. actually the representative actually put me in touch with a national expert about the LGBT aging community that I'm going to get in touch with and hopefully have that person come and speak to our community. And if everyone from Cardinal Innovations to all the towns, the fire departments, the Chamber of Commerce, the school system, Durham Tech was there, folks from El Centro, Habitat, IFC, lots and lots, of course, healthcare providers, places like interfacing with like Department of Transportation. It just kind of went on and on, really, the different groups that were represented in the room. Almost every department you can think of that that folks who are aging deal with, and that's almost every department, from the library to transportation to the sportsplex to folks who are, out there helping build ramps. I mean, even like the volunteer services. I mean, it was really a good reflection, really, of a lot of the good work that community members are doing.
What work is going on in the town of Carrboro? You mentioned senior housing with Lloyd Farm. We've talked about that.
Yeah, I know. In particular, that was one of the items that Annette Stone mentioned. The other one, which, and again, I've been removed from this process. So the other one she mentioned, which I realized was obviously a concern to our senior population, was our efforts and finally success in talking through having green burial as an option in one of our cemeteries. And mm-hmm. So I believe we're the first in the county to be offering that municipal-wise. And so we were excited to be able to talk about that. Another point that the folks that were organizing this, meeting today mentioned, and it may have been Janice Tyler, I'm not sure, it might have been Pat Sprigg kind of talking about this, but we are evidently Orange County, this process that we have gone through to create this master aging plan is unique, and it's a model, and other communities are looking to Orange County's success in getting these groups together and wanting to set up a similar type effort, and I believe that they said that they had been recently communicated to by Durham, and Durham County was looking to Orange to how this model worked, and in an effort to try to capture all of their senior services. I think, like many areas, we're very siloed,
right,
and it was
right.
really cool to sit in this room and hear all of this. For example, like when I talked about the aging LGBT community, someone on the other side of the room stood up, or two other people actually. Someone came and talked to me, and someone else stood up, told me about some resources that I didn't even know
and
about.
And conversations that wouldn't have been had if not for that meeting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was really an awesome meeting, and I just wanted to make sure I talked about it.
Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, townofcarborough.org for more information on town government. And we're talking right now about the Master Aging Plan Steering Committee meeting was earlier today. You were also at a transportation summit a couple of days ago, so a busy week for
you. Oh, gosh. Yes, it was really busy. I just had to have a heavy sigh. No, so they there was
the penance for 2 weeks of holiday,
right,
meetings.
Yeah, everything ramps up, yep. So on Wednesday and Thursday, the North Carolina Department of Transportation had a statewide summit, and I was only able to attend the first day. But it was a summit of leaders and elected leaders, as well as planners and folks from different boards that are invested and interested in transportation across the state. It was we were welcomed by Governor Cooper. Secretary Jim Trogdon spoke to the group. We had a lot of data put out about all the different forms of transportation and so on in the state. Mike Fox is actually our Division 7 rep on the Board of Transportation. He kind of served. He's also the chair of the Board of Transportation. Kind of served as the moderator for the event. But one point I want to make, first of all, that event was really interesting. What I found most fascinating about it was that it was, in Carborough, we think about transportation, walking, biking, transit, and we have some cars,
right.
But again, we're 6.4 square miles. We have no major interstate in our town, It always, and I've learned this on the MPO, it always fascinates me to back out and look at all the transportation options and really, kind of big businesses we have across the state, because this brought together, our ports, our train stations, our airports, those doggone interstates, as well as the complete streets approach that we mm-hmm. take in the smaller communities or in the urban, design communities. And we talked about, things from, scooters to airplanes. I mean, that was really, but one of the really informative sessions I thought was, about this financial, it's too much to call it a financial crisis, but a financial undertaking that study that the department and others are having to seriously make. In that the federal fuels tax, hasn't risen in many, many years, and the kind of revenues that the Department of Transportation, has traditionally seen over the years has been on the decline. Mm-hmm. As people drive more efficient cars, as they drive electric cars, and some worry about autonomous vehicles dipping into that even more. I have my kind of questions about that, but anyway, it was really, really interesting to kind of just hear about the challenges. One point I wanted to make, Aaron, was I decided, I'm going to a transportation conference.
Right.
I'm going to take the bus over, mm-hmm. And I love it when I have an option to take transit that works for my schedule.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
it really doesn't. But I'll tell you, any time I have gone to downtown Raleigh lately, or even NC State, I have taken the bus. And, more specifically from Chapel Hill, from Eubanks Park and Ride, it's the CRX.
Mm-hmm.
And the reasons I do this are, well, first of all, it is convenient. You go there, you park your car at the Park and Ride. If you don't have a parking permit to park there, it's really easy to pay your buck or two to park there for mm-hmm. the day. And then you hop on the bus, and I purchased a GoPass, card, so I can go anywhere I want, I guess. But So then you get on the bus and you drive by all of these cars that are stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
And the reason is because of this, the ability of the transit buses to use what's called bus on shoulder service. Mm-hmm. So anyone who's been stuck in the parking lot out there on 40 has seen this, that the buses could actually go right down the side and zip ahead of everyone.
I've shaken my fist at those buses many a time.
Well, you should be on the bus. But I'll tell you, that was what was so amazing about it. When I thought about how long it would take me to get to Raleigh, given mm-hmm. the traffic, I realized I can get there much faster riding the bus.
Yeah.
And so I did. It deposits you right downtown, and then I just walked a few blocks, and I was right at the conference.
That's awesome.
So it was awesome. Yeah.
Very cool. Again, speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and again, townofcarborough.org for more information on the town. We've got to wrap up in a minute, but before we do, the thing that everyone is talking about kind of on a national level as well as locally is the federal government shutdown, which is starting to have more and more and more impacts across American life kind of by the day. And I know this is affecting local government as well. We were speaking with Penny Rich about that on the county level a couple of days ago, and she'll be speaking more about that with Gene Boldick this weekend on the Weekend Water Cooler. How is the shutdown affecting Carborough, not just town government, but just residents.
Yeah, I think, well, a couple of things. We just got some information from our town staff with some statistics about the shutdown and about resources for federal workers. We'd actually talked about this on Tuesday night. And I know at this very transportation conference, I was talking, about there was a kind of an overview given of the mandatory services that are still going on, but the discretionary ones that are being affected somewhat. And mm-hmm. so there's no doubt that our efforts to continue to push our light rail through the process are being slowed right now. Okay, so that's number one. And this, given the short time frame kind of we have this year and the important time frame we have, that's a little bit of concern to folks. Another aspect that I wanted to talk about was we have, I know that CDBG grant funds have been slowed, and that's affecting not really so much us, but, a lot of the hurricane, folks who were affected by the hurricanes.
Yep.
And I know the governor keeps talking about that, too. I spoke with, we have several members of our community that work at the EPA. And so what's interesting about what's going on with them is, they're of course, hopeful that they'll get paid whenever they go back, as has been the case in the past. But one of the folks who work there, pointed out to me that most of the lower paid folks at the EPA are on contracts. Like they contract with, say, janitorial services mm-hmm. or whatever. And so those are the kind of folks that are not going to get that back pay. They're losing money every
yeah.
day that this is going on. And so, that really caused me to just kind of pause and reflect on, this whole PR, kind of movement and people kind of thinking that it's easy to get by for a month or two. I mean, even just the annoyance of having to remember all your automatic withdrawals or
mm-hmm.
whatever and making sure that, nothing falls through the cracks as you don't have that paycheck going in.
Well, we keep coming back to, or actually we don't keep coming back to, but in this case, it's an important point to note just what a large percentage of Americans don't have a savings account. Like they live paycheck to paycheck. Even if they're making a decent amount of money, they don't have that savings built up. And I think, 40-some% of Americans in a poll said that they couldn't necessarily afford a $500 emergency, like your car breaks down and you got to take it in and it's $500. They don't necessarily know where the money's coming from. Those are all of the people that are being affected by the shutdown too. Even if they get the money back, it's going to be difficult for them to make ends meet right now.
Yeah, no, it's really shocking. And it's
yeah.
not as, you hear some folks in the federal government saying, oh, anyone can get by for a few months. What are you talking about? No, that's not the case for a lot of people. I know some of the information that we did get, for example, affected North Carolina workers could apply for unemployment wages during the shutdown. It takes about a week to process the claim.
Mm.
And if you get back pay, you'll have to pay back those wages. But there are some stopgap measures. And some banks on a case-by-case basis are working with workers to defer payments on loans, mortgages, and credit cards. Some are waiving fees, but the negotiation with those financial institutions, particularly a lot of times when we don't have a face that we can even deal with,
exactly.
I know that's got to be challenging.
Is there a website? Is there a website for people who want to apply for unemployment benefits?
This is not on what I'm reading from here, but this was information compiled by our staffer who works with our affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
And so this information, I assume that this information that she received was straight from that website.
State government website.
And, yes, yeah. I would. And if someone is looking for this and can't find it, if you want to shoot me an email, I will find the source for it.
Right. Townofcarborough.org for more information on town government. Mayor Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.